From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Once upon a time, my sound was better. Close your eyes with me, will you? Wherever you are, outside, inside, just close your eyes. We're in church. As long as you've entered this property, you are in church. Close your eyes with me.
Light of the world, you stepped out into darkness. You opened my eyes. Let me adore and hope of a life spent with you.
And so
here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, and here I am to say that you're my
somebody. Let today be a day of salvation for somebody. Let today be a day somebody will go back from this sanctuary deciding to follow you for the rest of their life. I know you will speak and you will touch lives. I bless you for what you have done today. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. John chapter 7, verse 12. John chapter 7 and verse 12. Welcome to our Jesus service. Wherever you are, near, far, outside, inside, you're very welcome. John chapter 7 and verse 12. Try not to get up, try not to move around, try to just be seated for a few minutes that I'm going to preach. That's one thing I want to tell you. If you hear me, don't have life moving around. It's disrespect to God. If you go into a meeting with the president, you wouldn't be moving around. We believe that God is far higher, bigger, and better than the president of any country. And therefore, once we are in the house, we're in the church, we don't get up and move around. Even in the classroom, teachers don't allow students to get up and move around, or unless you're a bad student. And there are students like that. There are some bad students around, isn't it? They don't sit down, they don't pay attention, they don't write notes, they have their head down. When you ask them what happened, you said, literally haunting, all kinds of things. I wouldn't want such a student in my class. I'll tell the teacher, please remove this student from my class. What do you think? Alright, so in the church also, we just want you to, you know, just bear with us for a few minutes and then we will be out of here. So John chapter 7 and from verse 12, my message this morning or this afternoon is, what do you think about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? John chapter 7 verse 12, Bible says, there was a lot of grumbling about him among the crowds Some argued he's a good man, but others said he's nothing but fraud who deceived the people. Can't believe that they called Jesus a fraud. Can you believe that some people call Jesus a fraud? It's fantastic. Looking at it. Amen. Verse 10 says, but no one had the courage to speak favorably about him in public, for they were afraid of getting in trouble with the Jewish leaders. And the Bible says, then midway through the festival, Jesus went up to the temple and began to teach. The people were surprised when they heard him. How does he know so much when he hasn't been trained? They ask. And it's like that. You know, sometimes people see a church and they make a comment. Until you really get into the church, get into the service, and experience whatever is there, you ask yourself, oh, is this how church is? I didn't know that's how church is. But from a distance, you can say whatever you want to say about churches and pastors and preachers and all of that. Did Jesus have the same thing? You know, from afar, people used to say all kinds of things about him. But when they heard him preach, they said, how does he know so much when he hasn't been trained? They asked. Verse 10, verse 16 says, so Jesus told them, my message is not my own. It comes from God who sent me. Anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teaching is from God or is merely my own. Those who speak for themselves want glory only for themselves. But the person who seeks to honor the one who sent him speaks truth, not lies. 19 says, Moses gave you the law, but none of you obeys it. In fact, you are trying to kill me. The crowd replied, you are demon-possessed. Who is trying to kill you? What do you think about Jesus? Turn to your neighbor and ask him, what do you think about Jesus?
You're already sleeping, so I wonder who I'm asking this question. You're already sleeping, neighbor. Yeah. So people say he's a fraud. Then they say, how come this guy who we don't we know him here when he was born? It's only carpentry he's been into. He didn't go to GITC. Neither did he go to TI. How can he know so much? He went to Sophia. He didn't even go to Sophia Training School. How can he know so much? Then he started talking. And he said, Jesus knew that the people wanted to kill him, so he said it. Then I said, come on, you are demon-possessed. Who is trying to kill you? Jesus replied, I did one miracle on the Sabbath, and you were amazed. But you work on the Sabbath, Sabbath 2, when you obey Moses' law of circumcision. Actually, this tradition of circumcision began with the patriarchs, long before the law of Moses. For if the correct time for circumcising your son falls on the Sabbath, you go ahead and do it so as not to break the law of Moses. So why should you be angry with me for healing a man on the Sabbath? Look beneath the surface so you can judge correctly. Now, some of the people who live in Jerusalem started to ask each other, isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Some people already knew that they were trying to kill a man. They were whisperers. What do you think about Jesus? But here he is speaking in public and they say nothing to him. Could our leaders possibly believe that he is the Messiah? But how could he be? For we know where this man comes from. When the Messiah comes, he will simply appear. No one will know where he comes from. I mean, how can you expect somebody not to come from somewhere? I mean, we live in a world where everybody comes from somewhere. You can't say that somebody didn't come from anywhere. A human being must be conceived. Some man must hustle some woman. Like there must be a hustling. Like many of us guys do, isn't it? Many of you guys do. You must hustle a girl. And then a girl must be, sometimes they are cheap and loose, but sometimes they are a little hard to get. Isn't it? Tivon, you understand what I'm saying? Okay. I didn't know you understand. You know. And then once you know, they agree, then you ting, isn't it? You call it ting. You know, you ting, you ting, you ting, and you ting. And then one morning, the lady, she get pregnant. Yeah, she get catch, then she barely get big. And then you know, she give birth, and then you come out. So everybody's from somewhere. And I think that is one of the mysteries in life, where you and I don't decide where we will come from. We, if we had a choice, maybe we would choose to come out of Barbados. Yeah, I'm sure if you were asked, if you knew that you're going to come out of Guyana, maybe you would have said, not Guyana. Them people racial bad. You want to come from somewhere else. I'm sure some people want to come from America. Some people want to come from Canada. Some people want to come from England. And where? Where do you want to come from? St. Lucia. St. Martin's. Italy. France. Where? Germany. Belgium. Where? Düsseldorf is in Germany. Holland. Some of you want to come from Togo. You don't want to come from Togo. From Brazil. You want to look red. So you want to come from Venezuela. You can walk around without clothes on the streets of Georgetown. So you can speak Spanish. You know, I as I've been in Guyana, I've heard how some girls like to just marry a light-skinned guy. Not marry. Just say, want to be sexed by a light-skinned guy. A red bye. Look at Isaiah. Whoa. He's a red boy. But not this type of red boy with hair like a black man's hair. No, I don't know where you came from. There are some red guys who have nice hair. So, I mean, I was amazed when I heard that there are some girls who just want to have sex. And for the sake of having a child that whose hair you don't have to, you know, put peppermint cream inside and comb. Hey! Don't break combs. Not the hair that breaks combs. I was surprised to hear things like that. But, you know, you have to travel and see. If you never travel, if you don't travel, you will never understand the differences in people. I tell you. If you don't travel, see, as we were trying to give you directions to come to our church, some people were saying that, why are we using your Flesingen Road and you get onto Freeman Street? They say it's too white, man. You see, you guys say the first corner. And then you see a Polori lady. You turn by the corner there. There's some shop, the nursery school. I mean, taxi service. It's like, we must keep people in the dark all the time. Because we don't know streets. You see, there are countries where there are no street names. So they should use tree and bus and shed and all them things. But we have been blessed to have street names. And I know if I mention a street name, you will not know, but you know, you probably understand what I'm talking about. But you should know street names. It's another type of enlightenment. Because when you go to New York, you won't say, Blurry Lady. Plurry lady is what you're talking about. You're talking about Fifth Avenue, Martin Luther King Boulevard. That's how you must be thinking. Hey, Jamaica Avenue, the Grand Concourse. When you go to the Bronx, you can't say a corner coming. There's no corner coming nowhere. It's a conductor, corner coming. No, you press a button, the light goes on, so the bus driver knows that you are alighting at the next bus stop. Not car. Door opens, you. In fact, you have to, sometimes you even have to press a button for the door to open. You see, you can be such a bush boy or bush girl when you travel. You can be in a bus, and it stops. Then you are in the bus wondering how to get out. And then there are people in the bus, they're looking at you wondering, what wrong with he? he just come. Is a younger conductor, they're looking for a conductor to open the bus. So we choose to say Cemetery Road, and then you get onto Freeman Street. So that people get used to a certain level of lifestyle. What do you think about that? Yeah. No, I have been privileged to travel quite a lot and slept in hotels and slept in people's, you know, pastors' homes and all of that. Nice hotels. Now, you see, when you get used to the red valve, you just turn on, the shower comes. PVC pipe that you can see. You can travel to some places, you get into the bathroom, and then you don't know whether you should speak for the water to come or to touch a place for the water to flow. or the shower just realizes that you are there and therefore it should come on. You can be so embarrassed when you travel. I tell you. Yeah. No, when we started traveling, you know, born in Africa, migrated to Europe, when we started traveling, then we used to do what some people do. I used to do those things. I don't like the local products, the local food and all of that, but, you know, I'll just carry it for somebody I won't mention, right? I'll just carry dry fish, carry this achar, that type of things. Anytime you go, pepper, all those things. Until a time when I go to Ghana and I get back to Europe, and then you go through customs, the moment they realize that this KLM flight came from Accra, Ghana, everybody's bag will be opened. And then it is so embarrassing when they take your achar and they throw it in the bin. They take out your fish and they smell it and they took it. They take your soap and they... You know how we travel. It happened to me once. And I said, I respect myself. I'm not going to allow no white man to treat me here at the airport like me head and good. So when I'm traveling, you want selfish? You go to the market and buy selfish. I am not a courier for selfish. Then curry and all those things that if you don't eat them, it's not a problem. I see some people can't live and move away from a certain lifestyle. And so even though we travel to places, we still are locked up in a certain mindset. What do you think about Jesus? I don't know how I got into all of that. Where are we? Verse what? 27. He said, but how could he be? For we know where this man comes from. When the Messiah comes, he will simply appear. No one will know where he comes from, isn't it? So while Jesus was teaching in the temple, he called out, yes, you know me, and you know where I come from, but I am not here on my own. The one who sent me is true, and you don't know him. But I know him because I come from him, and he sent me to you. Then the leaders tried to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him because his time had not yet come. Verse 31. Many among the crowds at the temple believed in him. After all, they said, would you expect the Messiah to do more miraculous signs than this man has done? What do you think about Jesus? I just want to give you one point among many other points, and then we will close. Jesus is the mediator between God and man. Jesus is the mediator between God and man. What do you think about Jesus? Jesus is a mediator between God and man. Now, you have to think about Jesus. And you have to try and discover who Jesus really is. You know, sometimes when we dress up, you know, you go and you ask, what do you think? The skirt doesn't match the top. We are people who are very much engrossed in what others think of us. Most of the things we do in this world and in this life, we do because people expect us to do such things. Hardly will you find people doing things that they believe in it and they are doing it themselves. Sweetie, you want to sit up nicely? Don't slouch. If you're in class, you go and stand and face the blackboard, you know. I don't know if you're following what I'm trying to say. Most of the things we do, you dress up because you want people to compliment you. If people don't compliment you, you don't believe that you are dressed well. And especially when you are a girl and you walk around and you hear, one baby, what's going on, baby? It makes you feel like you are all that. No, but you see, if you've grown up a little bit around, when they say, they are looking for something between your legs. You know what I'm talking about? Uh-huh. There's something between people's legs. Yeah. The girls' legs. That continues to other places. People want to discover the treasure. Discovery Channel. So, we got to look at Jesus and find out what we think about him. You see, we live in a country where people are very, very hypocritical when it comes to religion. Few people are able to stand up and say Jesus is the only way. Few people are bold enough to say that the Hindus are wrong, the Muslims are wrong, the Salasiites are wrong. Christianity is the only way. Few people, even pastors, can't say that. Because when you say it, people say, oh, why are you disrespecting somebody's religion? No, so that is why the message is, what do you think about Jesus? If you ask me what I think about Muhammad, I'll tell you Muhammad is, I don't think about him because he's not important. Muhammad is not the mediator between God and man. I mean, if you believe the Bible, if you think the Bible is the word of God, then we can go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. What do you think about Jesus? You see, the way you think about Jesus, it will catch up with you one day. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God. How many believe there's one God? Oh, the rest of you don't believe there's one God. You believe there's one God? All of us? Outside? Raheem, you believe there's one God? Yeah. I also believe there's one God. Now, this is what you might not know. There is also one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus, the Savior of the world. There is one God. You believe that? Then there is one mediator. A mediator is somebody who tries to bring two parties together who are at loggerheads or who ain't talking. That's what a mediator does. A mediator brings two parties together who don't have a good relationship or they get wrong. They fall out. We have some around, isn't it? So you bring them together. Jesus is that one. The Bible says, there's one God, there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I didn't see Muhammad there. No. I didn't see Sai Baba there. No. I didn't see Lakshmi there. No. I didn't see Shiva there. No. So when I'm being blessed, I won't say it's Shiva's blessings, but Shiva can bless. No. Selassie is dead. They built a toilet on his grave. What do you think about Jesus? I am preaching from the Bible. It's not what I'm saying. It's what the Bible is saying. There's only one. There's no two. You see, your crime In normal sense, in the normal world, you have to be a big criminal to engage more than one mediator, one lawyer. Big criminals, they engage more than one lawyer. Because they need a lot of liars to be able to put their stories together and convince the judge. But you see, this mediator was provided by the judge himself. Hallelujah. Now, I am not 100%, but I can almost be certain that if you go to legal aid, you will never be given two lawyers. Because it's the government who is providing that lawyer for you. It's aid. So there's support from the state. And they don't win cases. So to have, when I say legal aid, there's a body that helps people when they have legal matters that is set up by the state. So the state actually pays these lawyers. So when you go there, you get, a lawyer at a very reasonable cost. They don't win cases. They're not defense because they get their money from the government. So whether you win or lose, they get their money. But a private lawyer will have to win the case for the money you're giving to them. So they are working based on merit. It's just like Georgetown Hospital. Because nobody takes a salary, money there from us. That's why they make you sit down for a long time. If we're paying them, then when they see your face, they see your money. They say, come. Hey, say, man, that one's a rich man. Man, let me help you. Quick. But when you have socialism where we want to put everybody on the same scale, then you see all these kinds of things. Nobody's important. Nobody is this. Nobody is that. Then you see a certain kind of service. So even the state providing a lawyer will not give you two. Will give you one. So God, a weak one. So God decided to give us a mediator because the Bible says that for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Bible says that when Adam and Eve sinned, they were driven out of the Garden of Eden. So there became a rift between God and man. And since time immemorial, man and God have tried to do things. It was a sheep, it was a goat, it was this, it was that, it was don't do this, don't do that. So many things were employed to try and bridge the gap between man and God. Until God decided, you know what, these people, they ain't able. They can't manage a mediator. They can't pay for a lawyer. So I will give them a lawyer myself. And so God, in his wisdom, gave us Jesus. He gave us Jesus. You see, I was born in a country called Ghana in West Africa. In that country, if you were a student, recently there was a case, BBC did a documentary on examination, sex and grades. Yeah, it happens here. People probably just don't talk about it. But where I was born, If you see, for you to get a grade A, the lecturer will have to like you. Yeah, no, you see, the older guys who are lecturers now, their system was different. So they've graduated with honors. So you know how sometimes poor people are. When we have something, we don't want somebody else to also have the same thing. Competition. We like to be better than somebody else. So once they get this, they are professors and they are doctors and they are this. They don't want anybody to also become a professor. So when you write an exam, you can easily, if you even get 100, they will never give you 100. Nobody writes an exam in the country I was born in and gets 100 over 100. To hell with you. Who do you think? Who do you think said the questions? And that you are too intelligent to get 100 over 100. It doesn't happen. No matter how good you are, they will give you 90, 85. And they will tell you there's more room for improvement. You've heard that. If you're a girl and you want to get a grade A, you got to do bagba. Yeah. You got to wine upon something. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Some people are behaving like they don't understand what I'm talking about. I'm preaching a very good message. Yeah. So I'm saying this to say that the person that you are trying to please, if he doesn't allow himself to be pleased, you can't please him. Should I say it again? If somebody wants to please you, they have to know your secret. They have to know what actually touches your heart. Toya, they have to know what touches your heart. Otherwise, wedding day, people bring enough things for give you. Enough plates where you like. People bring Chinese plates. I mean, if you think about it, it's like, are you the one who's going to buy me plates to use in my house? Like, I don't know what plate is. I don't know what nice plate is about. So weddings, we promote that at weddings, you should give people money. Let them buy what they like. Don't bring no glass from Capilani. Bed sheet that when you wash once, the whole color fades. It's small. Oh. Salt and pepper shake. All kinds of things. No, it is not so easy to please people. Even if you buy me a shoe, you can easily buy the wrong size. If you buy a dress, you can easily buy the wrong dress. You can easily buy the wrong color. You can easily buy the wrong type. I am saying that in the mediation between God and man, God himself had to reveal his secret. Because we think that if we stop lying, if we don't sleep with somebody, have sex with somebody, if we do this, then we will please him. That's what many people think. And I'm sure you are here, you are thinking like that. Oh, me, I don't do anything wrong. I don't do anything bad. Anybody who asks me something, when I give it to them. How can I go to hell? You sit down and say, you go to hell, you'll be surprised. Because what you think pleases the one who has created hell, it does not please him. He's not impressed by what you think impresses him. That is why he has set up a way by which we will be saved. And that way is through Jesus Christ, his only son. Is somebody listening to me this afternoon? So you really have to think about Jesus. He's not just anybody. He's not somebody that you can choose between him and somebody else. Jesus is not like a girl who you say, you know what, I don't like this one, I like that one. Jesus is not like a man who says, oh, I don't like this man, I like a man who is tall. This Jesus, you see, you either choose Jesus or you go to hell. There is no other choice. There's no other. There's one mediator, just one mediator between God and man. You want to win this case? There's only one lawyer you have to take. I don't care about the lawyer who thinks that they have what degree from UWE or whatever, they have LLB, whatever. The person, and there are people like that even in our lives. You have to know somebody to know somebody to get through with something. If you like, go and try. Write the nicest application on a nice paper. And you should decide. Envelope, right design envelope, and you go with your suit and tie, go to the reception. You see, when you leave the application at the reception, it will never go anywhere again. It stays right there. They put it in the bin. The people, the secretaries, the receptionists, they don't like your application letter. They look at you and say, and that, and your address, like, Cockroach Street, Isla Penitence? No! To the bin. And then you are at home expecting to hear a car. Let me tell you, if you were to know somebody who knows the HR manager, you don't have to even write application. I say you don't even have to write application. They tell you, start on Monday.
the mediation, fixing issues and getting the solution, is not by the person who wants the problem to be solved. It is by the person who decides. Somebody decides how.
That's right.
You see, the government, APNU and these people, they are looking for what? Prime ministerial candidate. There's a discussion. There are some people who think a certain way. And if they don't get that mindset, please, nobody will get it. They have things in their head about who they want. You sit down and see. You see that? You'll be like that. We are talking. Before somebody is there. Then you'll be surprised. Oh, this person. Yes, because there are some top people. They have already picked the person. They've already picked whoever they want. Everything else is a show. It's what they want. That is what happens. Is it not what you want that happens in your life? Those of us who say we have given our life to Christ, even apart from still that, don't we decide what happens in our life? Many of you, the boy that you love, nobody can change your mind. No matter all the testimonies and the facts and the evidence we can present to you, you will never leave the boy. Me laughing me man for nobody. It's my life. It's my life. I want to live it the way I want it. I choose to live it the way I want and I like it. So I am saying that God Almighty wrote a book. And he put inside the book that his relationship with human beings, there's only one person who he will listen to. Only one person. Only one person. He's the one who told Abraham, that one child that you have, I want him. If Abraham had said no, Abraham would have paid a price. Just as you are sitting here today, listen to me. If you diss Jesus, if you diss Jesus, if you reject Jesus Christ, you pay for it. You pay for it. That is what I have realized. That's what some of us have realized. And we have quietly come and said, Jesus, you are the only one. My mother, my father, my wife, my whatever, they are all there, but you are the only one. Because no matter how much I love my mother, when I die, my mother can't pay any passage for me after death. No matter how much I love my wife, it's just here. Heaven, there's no even sex. So what's the use of a wife after death? We just enjoy whatever you have to give us here. After death, you are not of use. The person who decides and who is important after life is God. And he is giving us a mediator, somebody. In fact, Jesus said, the Bible said, if you ask anything in the name of Jesus, it shall be given you. Not in the name of Collins, not in the name of Shepherd House, not in the name of your mother. You ask, God has put things in place. If you refuse and reject it, your life is gone. Your life is gone. So what do you think about Jesus? Jesus is the mediator between God and man. And let me tell you, there is something to mediate about in our lives with God. If you are sitting down and you think that, God, me and God good. You and God good? So you go to church one time, so you and God good? Old Year's Night, you dress up with your back open. And then he said, you and God good. With your back open. A tight dress. Is there tightness that you and God good with? God is looking at dress to be good with you? There is a heavenly relationship that needs to be fixed. And the only person who God will listen to is Jesus Christ, his only son. That's the only person he will listen to. Nobody else. Nobody else. And even in our lives, there are people like that. There are people who, when they speak to you, you will listen. And there are others, when they say anything, say, rest yourself. That is why, when you have a case, you should try and find somebody to go with you and fix the story. And that's how when you live your life in this world, you have to live your life in a certain way. So that when you need somebody to go and speak on your behalf, you find somebody. Because sometimes we live our lives as if nobody is important. Until, Rashawn, you realize that somebody's important. And I find it very, very ironic because something as simple as a reference, people who don't know you, I mean, I find it amazing. When people want to get married, then they know that you're a pastor. When people dead, when people family dead, they're looking for the church and the pastor. They want reference. They want this. They want that. No, you have to live your life in this world having some few good friends around who matter. People who can represent you. And that is why in the culture that I come from, which is also biblical, when you are going to marry a woman, you have to take somebody with you who has a good reputation. You need a mediator. For me, I don't know about you. I think Mr. Figuera is here, isn't it? I see that here. I don't know what Pastor Gerard did for him to release his daughter. But me, I gonna turn my face like dog. You want my daughter? No, you have to come with somebody who can speak for you. You see, when people go alone, they are dangerous people. Anytime, I want to, fathers and mothers, anytime your girl child brings a guy home alone and say, hello, mommy, this is this, you should never pay attention to them. Because people don't drop from the sky. People have mothers, people have fathers, people have uncles, they have relatives. Let that person bring one or two of them so that you can have somebody to talk to. The people that this person come with even gives you a picture of who your daughter is, the family, or who your daughter is getting himself involved with. We have thrown down a lot of practical and wise things. Once you see the person you like, is it love at first sight? Stupidness at first sight. Stupidness. That is why there's so many disappointments in life now when it comes to relationships. Because we don't do things the right way. If you think you don't need a mediator, you do. You do. God, you can't go to God by yourself. Even this morning, I gave a warning in my office. I said, one or two people wanted to come and ask me some questions. I told the pastors, I said, don't allow people to come to my office and ask me questions that you can answer. I said, no, don't let anybody disturb me this morning. My temperature is high. If you know what I'm talking about. And then somebody wants to come and talk to and ask the bishop a question. No. I ain't there for no answers and questions. Let somebody answer the question. So it's like, for you to even gain access into my small office, somebody got to come and make a case for you and say, oh, please, this one there, you need to speak to the person. It must be somebody that I trust who says, okay, Bishop, that's okay. Let the person come. After church, anybody can come. But before church, I don't normally want to talk. You have to bring a lawyer, a good lawyer. You have to bring a mediator. In the same way, your heart is also very, very precious. Ladies, that's how many of you ladies have become shipwrecked. Your heart is broken. You have a child, this, that, and you still doesn't have a love of your life because you thought that you could just do everything without a mediator. When God himself even needs a mediator before he can even look at you. And we human beings, we have thrown away that principle that I don't need nobody. I can do all bad by myself. You become my dear. That is where we find ourselves in trouble. Because you never know what is hidden. Sometimes you need somebody who smells a bit faster than you. Some people, their nose don't smell fast. Some people, they can't see well. Some people, their ears are not so open. So you need somebody with you who kind of add value to your life. Yeah. People must win. People have won people's hearts when it comes to mediation. You know, if you ever do something wrong to somebody,
and you want the person to pardon you, don't go by yourself. Don't waste your time.
Find somebody that the person you have offended respects and say, please, I beg you, I want to go to Shorty. I don't know what came over me. I did something to Shorty. Please, can you go with me?
Maybe before you take me, I get my abusing, right? I said, okay, don't worry, I'm going to help you.
Then you come and you try and talk. I said, girl, don't act. No, me one here, not here, but he. Girl, you know the man, you know.
Girl, hello, if you want me and you go, don't.
By the time you leave each other's presence, her heart is a little soft for a date for you to take me to go and see her. If I go, she look out she window.
He said, no, don't let you come.
Me want see he. He's a scamp. Me want see he. He's a fraud. Me want see his face for nothing. But if you put somebody in between her face and my face, then the punishment is made softer, is made lighter, and it's easily digestible, it's easily acceptable. It's like people are now open to hear what you I don't want to hear from him, but I just want to hear what you have to say. And before you realize, the issue is resolved and things are okay.
There is always the need of a mediator. And God has provided one for you and I. So that we don't have to go all over. Try everything. Do this, do that. Thank you. And that's why people like the Muslims, they pray how many times a day? They wear women clothes. And they go to the mosque. All of that is not needed. If they can only discover the one that God has established as the one who will speak and he will hear. All the washing yourself and then going all of that will finish. All of that will finish. This afternoon, I'm presenting a mediator to you. I am presenting you one of the golden graces and gifts that mankind has ever received. Someone who can talk to God on your behalf for how you have lived your life, for how you have been careless with God, for how you have not respected God and given him the attention he needs. There's only one person who knows that world so well who can speak for you, and today he's here to speak on your behalf. If only you will engage him. Stand to your feet, somebody. Let's pray.
Hallelujah. Oh. Oh. What do you think about Jesus? He's a mediator. Wherever you are, we are closing. Just close your eyes. You are here this afternoon. Somebody invited you to this Jesus service. You know deep down in your heart that you need God. You need Jesus. But needing God means you need Jesus. Jesus said from the scripture we read, that my message is not mine. I don't speak even for myself. It's the person who has chosen me to be a mediator. It is from him I speak. This afternoon, you want to assess Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and man. You want to say, Bishop, please pray for me. I want to call upon the name of Jesus because I want to be saved. You are here like that, wherever you are. I want to just lift your right hand. I want to be saved. Bishop, I want to call on the name of Jesus. Bible says, anyone who calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved. You want to be saved this afternoon. You don't want to die and go to hell. You don't want to regret the 80 years of your life, the 60 years of your life, the length of days God will give you. You don't want to regret at the end of it all. You want to start today and say, God, I need a relationship with you. And thank you for opening my eyes to the mediator, Jesus Christ. I want to take this bold step and begin a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You are here like that. You want me to pray with you? Just lift up your right hand wherever you are. God bless you. I see that hand. Your right hand wherever you are. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. Oh, so many hands. God bless you. So many hands. God bless you. God bless you. I see those hands. Now, I want you to do something very, very important for me. I want you to come to the front. I want to pray with you. Come. Come. Clap for them as they come. Come. Oh, clap for so many people. Lift up your hands. Come. Come. Come for them as they come. God bless you. Come. Come. God bless you. God God bless you. Right here. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, come for them as they come. God bless you. Give your life to Jesus. Time no day. God bless you. Hey, Joel. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Wow. God bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you, sir. Oh, clap for them. Clap for them. Clap for them. Clap all of them. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, they are coming. Clap for them as they come. 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 Many young people, many old people. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. Take your bag, take your phone. Just come to the front. Clap for them as they come. Oh, is somebody clapping?
Broken hearts, broken lives.
Oh, are you clapping for them? Many, many, many souls giving their life to Christ. Oh. The power of His love. Oh, come to Jesus this afternoon. Come to Jesus. Oh, clap for them. You are still deciding. I'm waiting for you. Come. Come. This afternoon is your afternoon. Today is the 3rd of November, 2019. This is a day to remember. Your destiny is about to change because of this decision you're making. Come to the front wherever you are. Clap for them. They are coming. Clap, 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 clap. Oh, clap for them. They're coming. Clap for them. Clap for them. Clap for them. So many folks, clap for them. That's why we invited you here. God wanted a date with you. God wanted an appointment with you. That's why He sent you here this afternoon. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Clap for them as they come. They are still coming. They are still coming. Clap for them. Clap for them. Clap for them. Clap for them. Clap for them.
Everything was done.
Somebody else coming, we're waiting. I'll wait for you. Even if it's one person, I'll wait for you. You are too precious. You are very, very precious. If even if it's one more person coming, I want you to come. I want you to come. Jesus said, if you have 100 sheep and one is missing, we don't leave in the 99. Go and look for the one. That one person is still important. You want to join everybody in the front? Come from wherever you are. Come. I'm waiting for you. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come. Come. Make use of the mediator. Make use of Jesus. Today is your day. It is your time. It's your season. It's your moment. Come to Jesus, my brother. Come to Jesus, my friend. God bless you. God bless you. Come to Jesus. Come. 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 He will take them all. Power of the word. God bless you. Come. There's a gentleman coming. Come for him as he comes. Close, especially those here in front, lift up your two hands. It's a very simple prayer we're going to pray. Bible says, if you believe with your heart, then you must confess with your mouth, and you shall be saved. Because it is with the heart you believe, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. So I want you to pray this prayer with me. Church, join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive now. I open my heart and I receive the mediator, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, into my heart, into my life. From today, I declare that Jesus is my Savior. And by this prayer, I believe my life has changed. I believe I'm born again. I believe my name is in the book of life. I believe I am now a child of God. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.